So glad to have you out with us today. I want to start just by asking you a real simple question. How many here still have a living parent? Would you raise your hand up and just keep it up for just a minute? So I'm going to check this out real quick. Okay, great. Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you couldn't raise your hand, that means you're down to 9 commandments. And nobody's happy about that either, you know, to say that I've only got 9 now that I need to, you know, focus on and take care of. In fact, it's not much of a risk to say for those that no longer have a living parent they could honor that they wish that they did. Which isn't to say when they were living that it wasn't difficult and challenging, but still, now with them gone and a lot of the realization of what they had and now don't is really, you know, coming to the surface and birthing out that way, they would say, boy, we wish that we could do all 10 of the commandments again. Which, let me just say, by the way, as we go through, as we work our way through the commandments, and we're using them as a litmus test to help us to make sure that we can discern between religion and relationship. Relationship being that which God wants so much for us to have, and religion many times being what people do as a cheap substitute for relationship with God that way. But as we go into these 10 words from God, realize that we're only able to, you know, kind of unpack a couple layers of the truth and what they have to offer. In fact, we will never in our lifetimes wring out all of the truth that they have for us. Now, as we talk about the commandments, a couple of truths that help us to keep the big picture with regards to them would be these. Number one, God didn't give them to us in order to get relationship with Him. Now, if you're just joining us in the series, this truth in and of itself can be a game changer in this understanding of the difference between religion and relationship. So many times we've fallen into a trap of thinking I've got to keep the Ten Commandments to be accepted by God and to earn favor or to hopefully get into heaven someday. It's not why God gave us the commandments. He gave us the commandments to be able to grow in relationship. They are there for those that are in relationship with Him, that are willing to listen to what God has to say for them. The second truth is that the commandments are actually God's heart for us. Rather than this rigid law, like, okay, you know, boom, here you go, God says, let me tell you what is in my heart. I want what is best for you, that you would know and experience life as I've intended for you. Rather than just kind of, you know, focusing on 2 tablets of stone with some Hebrew scrawled in them, you kind of need to reshape those tablets to recognize. And as a parent, you'd understand this. When you go to your child, this is what is in my heart. I want so badly for you to be able to have and to experience what's in my heart for you. So, and though there's a lot of practical stuff, a lot of very helpful, profound things that are in there, the key is, this is what God says, is my desire for you and what I want for you in your life. So, that said, let's look at the 5th commandment, the 5th word from God today. If you have a Bible, let's turn in it to Exodus chapter 20. It's great to be able to have these bookmarked in there, kind of look at the flow as they take place. If you didn't bring a Bible with you and you can find a pew Bible somewhere nearby, please take it. Turn with me to page 117. Verse number 12, the 5th of the words from God, say, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? And at the same time, very interesting. A couple of the unique things about this command, you've got it open there, and you can just kind of, you know, glance back at this in a moment or two. This is one of 2 of the commands that are stated in the positive tense. It's not a thou shalt not command. This is something God says, this is what I want you to do. In other words, God didn't say, thou shalt not dishonor your parents. Because if that's what he said, you can go like, okay, I'm not going to dishonor them, but I can just leave it at that. Don't need to honor. I could be neutral. Just you know, leave them at a distance that way. But no, God's got you proactive going the other way. So this is something I want you to be doing. Another unique thing about this commandment, it is the last one in which God embeds his personal, his covenant name in. If you're with us in the series, you might remember, anytime you see Lord written like this, capital L-O-R-D, it's actually God's personal name, the name Yahweh, and it's his invitation into relationship, declaration with that. So it's embedded right into this command. And then lastly, third thing we recognize about this is that it is the only one of the commands that brings with it this personal involvement of God's working in us. He says, and if you will, this is what I'm going to be busy about in your life. So very, you know, when we look at the fifth command, it's a unique command that way. It also, and I think this is very noteworthy, it is also in a stream of truth that goes from the very beginning of the Bible to the end of a critical truth that God says this is something that always needs to be in the forefront of our minds. Here's what I'm talking about here. This truth begins in Genesis, first book of the Bible, goes to Revelation, last book of the Bible. It would be stated this way, that horizontal relations or relationships, and horizontal is this way, so do this with me, horizontal, right, this way, right? Horizontal, carefully don't hit the person next to you, but you know, horizontal relationship reveals vertical. This is vertical, so do this. Vertical is up and down. Vertical, so vertical. This, horizontal, come on, let's get them out there. This reveals, in other words, it shows what this really is. So horizontal relationships reveal. Am I starting to look religious up here? Right? All right. This reveals this. Now, a lot of times, people want to be in denial of that. You know, horizontal relationships, relationship with your husband, with your, you know, spouse, relationship with your family, relationship with your coworkers, relationship with your neighbors. This shows what this really is. God says that relationship with me, vertical relationship, will impact your life. And what you've been impacted in is going to show on the outside that way. One of the many, many passages in the Bible that, you know, just opened this whole thing up for us would be 1 John chapter 4 that says this. We love him because he first loved us. Now, there is no chicken and egg scenario when it comes to loving God. You know, it's like, well, did I love God first or did God love me first? It's never this. It's always this. Because God has loved me, grace flows this way, vertically down to us. Because God has loved us, that's the reason why we've responded and we love him. So you get, here's the vertical. Vertical starts this way. But when this gets going, this is going to be affected. Because he goes on to say, if a man says or boasts, I love God. In other words, got this baby going right here. I love God. But he goes right on hating his brother. Thinking nothing of it. He's a what? A what? It's a word in yellow. He's a... In other words, if this... You're going like, well, this is bad, I know it, but this is good. God says it's not true. If this is bad, there is something that's wrong here as well. If he won't love the person that he can see, how will he love God who he can't see? Now, a lot of times we want to push back against it, and I encourage you, push back hard against that, because I think we're going to realize more and more that this is intended to have an incredible perspective, and it can't help but to affect the relationships in our lives because horizontal reveals what vertical is, which kind of takes me into our bottom line for the fifth commandment today. Bottom line that we're going to write out is this, that family matters. Now, I'll finish this out a little bit later toward the end, but this whole idea family matters, this conviction family matters, would actually be a core quality of character. You see, if you don't own this conviction personally, then you are going to default to selfishness and self-destructiveness in your life. Now, you can think about that personally, you can think about it family, you can think about it in society. But when family doesn't matter, there is this self-centered, self-destructive tendencies to just go on. And if you feel like just doing, ooh, right now, just go ahead and just shiver. I mean, the whole thought of that, it's like, yeah, that's that at the character. But it's not only family matters being core character quality, but it's also a core spiritual conviction as well. Because when we say, you know, family doesn't matter, we disregard that, we actually short-circuit God's will for our lives. This is going to be an important conviction that we're going to build upon. Now, God's heart. God's heart in this matter, we've said the commandments are God's heart to us. But he expresses his heart in even a more emphatic way with regards to family matters. In Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6, we read these words. Now, before we read them, let me just point out that Malachi 4, 6 is the very last verse, the last words of God in the Old Testament. So before we go into this 400 years of silence, before John the Baptist is going to burst on the scene proclaiming, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," the last words that God shares is that these words that just kind of hang over these four centuries are these, that he, God, will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. God says, John the Baptist announced, this was a key part of the message he preached when he said the kingdom of God has come. The message that Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here now. One of the qualities of the kingdom of God, the characteristics of it, is this turning of hearts again, parents to child, child to parents. The kingdom of God is that place where God's will is being lived out by those that have yielded themselves to him, those that have put themselves under the lordship of Jesus. This, he said, is going to be a manifestation of what's taken place with it. So, that family matters conviction, this is going to run deep, and there's going to be a lot that comes from it. Before we go any further, though, let me just ask a quick question. As far as, who is it directed at? That is the fifth commandment. Who was the intended audience, the bullseye of the audience? Was it adults? Did God give it to teens? Was it directed to children? I mean, go like, well, I think the fifth command was directed at adults. Can I see your hands? A couple in here? Okay, great. How many teens? God said this, the fifth command was for teenagers. Would you raise your hand up? Look at that. All the parents with teenagers. Good. How about for children? Fifth commandment primarily for children. Okay. How many didn't raise your hand for anything? Okay, they work. It's good to see. Just checking with that. Okay. So while we're on this question thing, here's another question about it, fifth commandment. What if your parent doesn't deserve to be honored? What if they haven't necessarily acted in an honorable way in their life? What do you do then? Anybody in here have an imperfect parent? Can I see you had an imperfect parent? Okay. How many had a exceptionally imperfect parent? Okay, hopefully they're not seated within arm's reach of you at that way. All right. So I mean there's times, right? Now, no kidding with this. There are some in here that suffered true abuse at the hand of your parents. I'm not talking about they took away your Xbox or they monitored your cell phone. I'm talking criminal abuse. And we're not going to drill deeply into that part of it today, though it's an important conversation that you need to be engaged in, whether you know with me, whether with somebody else, but you need to have that conversation and work and process through that. But for everybody, for those, and for all the rest of us, I want to give a very strong word of caution, especially the fifth commandment. And that is, don't look for loopholes. You see, religion brings with it loopholes. It looks for it. We've learned religion is the institutionalizing of faith. In other words, you try to take it and it institutionalizes it. Many times it just guts it at that point, but you come out with rules. So institutionalizing means you get rules. But whenever rules are brought into play, rules are managed with what we often refer to as loopholes. So if I were to ask you today, are there any rule benders in here? Anybody here, you're kind of a rule bender by nature. Can I see your hands? Yeah, rule benders have no problem raising their hands, all right? I do not consider myself a rule breaker. Because rule breakers would be bad people. Rule breakers would be like sinners. But when it comes to rule bending, I like to think of that as an art. Your creative juices begin to flow when it comes to making loopholes. In fact, rules were made just to create loopholes for. And all the rule benders said, yeah. Now, when it comes to what God has told us, his words for us, if you have institutionalized, if this thing has, you know, kind of slid over to the religion part of you, let me show you what's going to happen. It happened in Jesus' day. It happens in our day just as well. So let's take our Bibles real quickly. Go to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, page 1525 in the Pew Bible, we could just jump in at verse 3, but I'm actually going to back it up to verse 1, which says, some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, in other words, the religious leaders, came to Jesus and asked him, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? You can write in there, over tradition, rules. Why are your disciples rule breakers? They're not keeping religion's rules. They don't wash their hands before they eat. But for them, that's the reason we're just going to toss them out of church. And Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? You could put it this way. Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your religion? Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your rules? That's a good question, right? Jesus said, case in point. For God said, honor your father and mother. Anyone who curses their father and mother should be put to death. But you say, if anyone declares, I encourage you, if you got a Bible here, circle these words. God said, verse 4. You say, verse 5. When you say is different from what God said, now you know you've kind of slid from relationship into that religion category. But you say, if anyone declares that what I might have used to help their father and mother is devoted to God, term Corban, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. And Jesus said, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, for your rules. Here's what had happened. Of course, in Jesus' day, no Social Security, no help for the parents. So when they got older and they needed assistance, financial assistance, you know, living assistance, that fell to their families. Now, that impacted people financially, so they didn't have as much to be able to make the religious contributions that the religious leaders wanted to make for them. So the religious leaders came up with a loophole to the rule that they had made. They felt that honor your father and mother, just a rule of God. So here's a loophole for it. And they said, if you commit your bank account to God, if you dedicate your bank account to God, term called Corban, I said, if you dedicate it to God, then you can only use it for your own personal use and for church use that way. And unfortunately, your parents, taking care of your parents is outside of your own personal or church use. And people are going like, oh, dude, this is a deal. So they're all going like, my bank account is dedicated to God. They paid the extra fee that it cost them that. And they go to the mom and dad, go like, sorry. You know, I'd like to help you, wish I could help you, but I've dedicated what I have to God, so therefore I can't do what God's told me to do. You're going like, that's crazy. Jesus had a different word for it. He said, verse 7, what's the word?
Hypocrite.
You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God's not interested so much in your speak. He's interested in your heart, because relationship is always going to take you right back to, is your heart in line with God? They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human, what? Just a bunch of rules. Now, Jesus had a double lesson here. First of his lesson is this: don't look for loopholes with regards to what God has said. It's a good lesson to learn. We look for loopholes, don't we? Second one is, look for God to work in your life as you do what it is that he said. And Jesus said, that's where you're going to find and discover God at work. So let's take it back to those of us that have living parents in this room. If you are here, we'll say as a child, so grade school or below, if you're in here with us today, if you're in grade school or below, God's word to you would be to listen to your parents and obey them. A good rule to follow is this: as long as your parents can pick you up, pay close attention to what they say. You know, just a good thing to follow, rule of thumb. All right? How about for teenagers? God's word for teens, with regards to the fifth commandment, would be this: trust your parents and engage with them. Now, I didn't say engage them. I said engage with them. Now, when I'm saying that, I know. I know your parents aren't that smart. And they won't be till your late 20s or early 30s. There's some phenomenon that takes place at that point that they begin to, get a brain. I know that your parents don't understand you, don't understand your life. Most of your parents were in a coma from like 11 years old to their mid-20s. So they just don't understand you or what it's like to be where you're at right now. And I know they're not fair, and I know they're ruining your life, and I know, what else should I know? Help me out. They're doing what?
Times have changed.
You're not cool. Yeah, it's the problem is all these parents are shouting out what their kids think they know. I had one mom that was down front. We embarrass them. Their daughter just buried her hands last night. I mean, right there in front of everybody. Like, yep, we know all that. Trust and engage. You're going like, really? If you will, I'm going to make you promise. Three things. I promise you, if you trust your parents and engage with them, number one, you will not understand all of the things and decisions that they make. I guarantee you. Number two, I guarantee you this, they will not get it right all of the time. I mean, sometimes they're going to get it wrong. And number three, have I motivated you yet? And number three, that God will work in your life if you do. It's interesting, Ephesians chapter 6 takes these words, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and then takes us back to the fifth commandment again, honor your father and your mother, because this is always going to be revealed in this. And it brings it back to those that are in home. It's the first commandment, it's given with a promise that may go well with you. In other words, God's saying, and I will be engaged in your life. The next verse says this, and fathers, don't exasperate your children. In other words, don't act in such a way that you put them in lose-lose situations, that you frustrate them that way. Instead, be engaged in helping them in their lives and in helping them with that which is most important. If you're a child at home, and again, just a quick aside, if your home is, your parents are divorced, it's a lot harder. I understand that as well. You may be with one parent one day, one, you know, another part, or you may have, you know, they may have remarried. Now you're in a blended family, and you're just going like, so what do I do then? If you will trust and engage with those that God has in parental authority over you, God says, that's how you'll open yourself up to my working in your life. Then we also want to talk about, we talked about children, we talked about teens, but let's talk about adults for just a second. One reason we want to talk about adults is because you are actually the primary audience that God gave the fifth commandment to. He was speaking to adults, and he's speaking to those, as I mentioned, didn't have the social programs, and when their parents got old and needed help either physically or financially, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to honor them and help them out that way. God's word to us is to be and stay engaged in their life. Now, if they don't need help and assistance right now, it's easy, you know, you kind of, you know, you can coast, which is why you want to stay engaged. But there will come a day, if they age, that you will need to be more involved in their life. It may get to the point that someday you may need to have them in an assisted living or a nursing home. If that day comes, and the Bible doesn't say that's wrong. What it would say is this: don't dump them there. Don't drop them off and then just forget about them. Do you know what the norm is in nursing homes today when a resident is placed there? They are dropped off and they are what? Forgotten. Now, it's not that they don't know, like, oh yeah, I forgot where I put my parent. Not forgotten that way, but it's just like, oh yeah, they're taking care of it. I'm just going about living my life as if they're not an active part of us, because we're not having an active part of it that way. We want to make sure that we stay engaged. Now, parents, there is a lot, there's a very important part that we have in this formula right now. Ephesians 6, alluded to that. Fathers, don't do this. I mean, you know, don't be hard, oppressive on your children, but instead be engaged in helping them in the most important things. And one of the most important things that we as parents can do is to help our children in discerning the difference between what we've described as religion and relationship. When we're engaged with them, understanding that relationship with God will be one of the most important things that we can help them with. It's going to affect the rest of their life, and in fact, it's going to affect everything else in their life. Fox River here. We say that we bleed orange. And here's what we mean by that. You know, we leverage orange as much as we can. We know that in every child's life, there's a potential for two powerful influences. One of these influences we've described as red, the other is yellow. Red, yellow together is going to give you orange. The first influence in your child's life is the love of home, hence the red of that. It's a powerful influence if it's used. The second influence there can be in a child's life is the light of the church, help, truth that comes from that. When these two work together, the potential of a child with a relationship with God increases. It explodes in that way. It's not this plus this, but it's one influence of the power of the other that's there. So if you have got children, let me just encourage you, use the resource we've got here. I mean, our kids' programs are great and always getting better. You can check on our website under, Get Connected tab, children, students, and a lot of the different, resources that are here, because we hope that both of these influences are aiding and assisting in this aspect of your child's life. Let me tie it up with this today. Let's go back to our bottom line. We've said that family matters, which certainly does, and we've seen that. Here's what we're reminded. So be engaged. It's not enough just to have the conviction family matters and then be passive about it. But family matters, be engaged. If you're a parent, be engaged with your child. If you have a living parent, be engaged with your parent. Because if you will, all of a sudden we discover that not only is this God's heart for us, but an avenue that God says, I want to show and prove myself. I want to live out this promise that I've given for you personally to experience in your life. Would you pray with me? Once again, Father, we thank you for your words. This fifth word, again, pretty simple, right? Honor your father and your mother. All of a sudden opens up to us these new avenues of working, and it brings us back to that which is near and dear to your heart. For those that are disengaged, for whatever reason, help us to take to heart what you've said and re-engage. As a teenager, as a young adult, middle-aged adult, as an older adult. We can't control everyone else, but we can do our part, and God will just trust you with the rest. For those that have gaps or chasms that have to be crossed, please give us the grace that we need, once again, just to do what we can and then trust you with the results. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen.